I have a question. Are you on a spiritual, emotional, and physical path to healing your life right now? Maybe that's healing your business, your body, your relationships. Are you on that journey? Are you claiming more self-confidence in your life? Are you calling in more empowerment, more abundance, and more financial freedom? Are you a person who's claiming the life of her dreams right now and going on an inner work journey to make that a reality? Well, if you are, perhaps you find yourself getting stuck in overwhelm, feeling lost, feeling like you're reaching an upper limit, self-sabotaging, getting in your own way. Perhaps you're stuck in the overwhelmed and you find yourself in a long list of things you're supposed to do to reach your goal, but you never quite get there. Listen, I have a secret. Are you ready? The path to getting your outcome is not what you've been doing. It's not the journaling work. It's not reading the personal development books or studying the law of attraction. Getting the outcome of your dreams is so much more than that. The secret to achieving your dreams is in your healing work. Because if there's something you haven't quite achieved yet and you find yourself getting stuck, reaching resistance, or failing to meet the bar you set for yourself, what you're doing hasn't been working. And it's time to do things differently. The journey and the path to creating the life of your dreams is through your inner healing work. It's the path that you're already on, but we're gonna do things differently. We're gonna shift and transform in a way that's effortless, easy, and aligned. And I'm so excited to announce that my free 5-day challenge, Make Healing a Reality, is now open for enrollment. This is a free 5-day experience where you will learn the secrets to actually getting out of your own way and achieving your dream outcomes. Whether you want business success, health and wellness, or you're calling in a dream partner, financial freedom, vitality, whatever it is that you desire, this series will teach you the steps to unblocking yourself and finally calling in the dream that you've been waiting to manifest into your life. Every day for 5 straight days, I will teach you my secret steps to mastering your mind, your physical reality, and your spiritual connection, so that you can become the woman who achieves everything she sets her mind to and heals every aspect of her life. To sign up, visit laurenoflove.com/reality or click the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. We kick off this series in just a couple of days. Our first video actually goes live on June 14th. I am so excited and so honored to see all of you gorgeous souls doing this deep healing work. And I'm deeply pumped for us to do it all together. So for signing up, go to laurenoflove.com/reality or click the link in the show notes. All right, let's get started. Hello, my beautiful sisters. Welcome back to the Making Healing a Reality series. I am so pumped, so excited. We are here on day 3, diving into a deeper layer of content, a deeper layer of study. And first and foremost, I just want to let you guys know of a couple of things before we kick this off, before we dive deep, before we go into all of the nitty-gritty stuff. Tomorrow's session and Friday's session are going to take place in our Zoom room. I'm going to be sending you guys a link. I'm going to be posting it in the group as well to let all of you know that you can come and join live in the process. And the recording will also be uploaded into the group later on throughout the day. So rather than going live here in the community, we're gonna be going live in a Zoom session. And this is gonna be really beautiful because this is a taste of what's inside of the HEAL program. Those interactive live calls are so potent and so powerful. So I wanna give you a taste of all of that, and I wanna give you an opportunity to dive deeper. And I'll say too that if you are feeling called into the HEAL program, if you're ready to dive deeper, doors open on Monday, and the link to the waitlist is in the bio. And this program is a 6-month experience, so it's super juicy, super intense. And I love that you guys are pumped. Emily says, I'm pumped, I'm so pumped too. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. This has been like a wild ride of a 5-day challenge, man. Like, I'm going through deep layers of my healing right now, and it's like, it's intense. And I think that's something I really want to speak to, because I think a lot of you guys with these rituals and these activities and these things that I'm giving you guys to do at home, you know, there can often feel like this resistance to the work, to avoid, to not look at, to not make time for these activities, because let's just be real, our ego doesn't like change,
right? And our ego, you know, when we talk about the ego, we do so much work around this inside of the HEAL program. What is the ego, right? What is this? The ego is often identified, I like Wayne Dyer's principle. He defines the ego as edging God out. It is a part of you that is like pushing God away. And it's often the parts of us that aren't of the purest vibration, right? It can be, ego can look like us feeling judgment towards others. Ego can look like self-bullying to ourselves. Ego can look like a constant pattern of fear and feeling afraid of taking action. You know, the ego in a lot of like new age spirituality is something that's often spoken of as like, we need to kill the ego. We need to destroy the ego. The ego doesn't serve us. The ego keeps us stuck. The ego holds us back. You know, and while yes, the ego can be a challenging part of our dynamic, what's important to recognize is that the ego is always with us. It is an always ever being part of us, and it's not our job to kill it or remove it, but rather to know how to work with it and to quiet its voice. I say this in my HEAL program, the ego is kind of like our child. We always drive with them in the car. We never leave them behind, right? We're always with them in the car, but we don't exactly let them drive with the steering wheel, right? Like, we're not putting them in the front driver's seat. That ego is in the back, in one of those little, you know, car seats, right? All buckled up. We need to learn how to be the leader of our life and be able to navigate the ego, not to kill it, not to remove it, not to let go of it, but to be the leader of it and to work with it, right? And I think a lot of the times when we're in this like battle with the ego, we feel at war with ourselves, right? We feel like we're fighting this part of us, and we almost, you know, almost always say, it's like there's two parts of me, right? Like, there's this part of me that wants to be really successful and speak her truth and live freely and have happiness and joy and love. And then there's this other part of me that's like, that can't happen, right? Like, that story, that ego, you know, we want to just fight it, and we fight it, and we're like, all right, I want to get rid of you. I want to let go of this story. And oftentimes that creates a lot of resistance within ourselves, and it makes our journey exhausting, our journey of life so exhausting, because not only when we're fighting with ourselves and we're trying to, you know, kill off the ego and release all of that trauma, release all of those stories, and we're pushing and pushing and pushing, that internal conflict is what mirrors an external reality of conflict. So if you find yourself in life where you're not manifesting what you want, where you feel like things that you desire are hard to have, where you feel like you're constantly in a place of low self-worth or judgment or not feeling good enough, and you're playing those patterns out over and over and over again, probably what's going on, number one, is that you've been at war with the ego and you've been trying to get rid of it, and it's just getting louder, or you've been ignoring the ego and the ego is just getting louder and louder. Our jobs are to be the creators of our life. To be the creator of your life means that your higher self is always leading. And while the ego is there, it's a small part of you. If you've ever seen a Ganesha statue, you'll notice that Ganesha, which is a sacred spiritual archetype, if you will, right, that represents removing all obstacles. And Ganesha is this big elephant, right? And on the bottom of his feet, he has a little mouse, almost always. And the mouse, they say in tradition, represents the ego, because elephants are really annoyed by mice, right? And so it's like this, like, just an annoying little mouse. But that's the ego. It's small, right? You see, it's small and annoying, right? But the Ganesha's big and leads and was grounded and knows truth, right? So we need to get to that place. And oftentimes the way we do that and the doorway to that is by understanding how the ego works, having a deeper loving relationship with the ego, and looking at the archetypal experiences we've had in our life where trauma has been surfaced to rewrite stories that are playing really loudly for the ego. So I'll give you a couple of examples. For me, when I was on my journey of healing, one of the biggest issues I had was feeling good enough, right? I would not feel good enough in my marriage, not feel good enough in my body and my health and wellness goals, not feel good enough in my business, like I wasn't taking the right steps, not feeling good enough in all of the ways, right? And the reason I didn't feel good enough was because, yes, those areas of my life weren't creating what I really actually wanted for myself. So sure, right? Okay, yeah, I'm a little disappointed, right? I don't feel good enough. I'm not, my business isn't where I want it to be, my relationships. Let's not discredit that, right? Like, you know, this old new age belief of like, you just need to love yourself and like, just be in love with every part of you and where you are, no matter what. Yes. And it's also okay to feel like discontent, you know, dissatisfied. These are okay emotions to have. They are reminders of your never ending desire to expand. Right. So when we have these feelings of like, oh man, like I feel unfulfilled by the life I have. I feel dissatisfied with the way I've been showing up in the world. I feel like I haven't created what I want. Sometimes those energies are actually really good, right? Because they show you and mirror to you where you're not fully showing up for yourself, right? So just like desire, yes, Emily, you're on it, girl. Just like desire, like I said, is here for a reason. So is discontentment. So is feeling unfulfilled, right? It's a sign of where you're not living in true alignment. And also too, there's a difference between that energy and like self-abuse, right? And so we need to be able to decipher these things and be really aware of like, okay, am I like just discontent because I'm feeling like I deserve more and I love myself. And so I'm feeling like this isn't enough because I want more for my life and I'm so deserving of that. Oh my God, right? Or is it like nothing you've ever really created for yourself was enough? And it's a pattern that's been playing out over and over and over again. And are you ready to look at that? And so the ego, while you're sitting here and you're like, I feel like my life is not good enough, if we shut the ego off, we just learn to become satisfied with complacency and sub-level standards of what we really want. But if we listen to the ego, we say, oh, I see discontentment, disfulfillment, not feeling truly like I'm achieving everything I want in my life. You know, this is a sign for me to look at myself. And if there is an energy of self-abuse there where we feel like, wow, I'm like bullying myself and I feel like I'm not really where I deserve to be in my life, but I'm hard on myself and I talk badly to myself and I shame myself, you know, and I judge myself and I compare myself, right? All of that is also here for a gift because it's showing you a wound. So point number one in working with the ego, right? The patterns that come up, whether they are patterns of self-sabotage or patterns of avoidance, right? A lot of us have these patterns where when things get really hard, we avoid, right? When things are challenging in our life, rather than feeling the emotion, we actually just like disassociate. We binge watch and eat Netflix, oh my God. We binge watch Netflix and eat junk food all the time, right? We're disassociating. This is a pattern. So the feelings of like not being good enough when they rise and they rise and they rise, they're continuing to rise because it is an energetic part of you that from a trauma years and years ago has been playing out. And when that is surfacing, it's like, hey, have you looked at this, right? Depression is a great example of this, right? When we have depression in our lives or we have anxiety in our lives or any feeling of like negative emotion, that is an energy that's playing out from the ego, from, yes, a robotic place in the mind, like we talked about, the computer programming, right? Playing out, playing out, playing out. And it's also a programming that started from a wound in some part of our timeline. And so going back into that experience and feeling it and seeing it and witnessing it and allowing yourself to feel rather than disassociate is what releases all of this trauma. And so this is why, just circling back to this concept of like people avoiding the work, it's hard because you're gonna feel things that you have never felt around certain experiences you've had, and it's maybe will be uncomfortable. And this is why like some people are not ready for healing work, right? And they avoid, right? My father's a great example. My father says, he's like, I don't believe you have to ever look at your past because it's in the past, who cares? Right? And he had a horrible relationship with his father. And my dad has a lot of trauma and you see it, right? A lot of us are carrying ancestral trauma. Something really fascinating that we do in our in-depth study in the HEAL program is looking at like the mother lineage, the maternal lineage on your line, and seeing like, what are you carrying from you? What are you carrying from your mother? What are you carrying from her mother? And there's like this whole thing where if you really sink into and become aware of your own patterns, you'll recognize that a lot of what you're carrying can actually be stuff from your mom, right? Sometimes for me in my relationship, the things I move through in healing my relationship with my partner, I'm like, oh my God, my mom, like I'm doing things my mom did. I'm acting a certain way I saw my mom acting. It's computer programming in the mind, and it's here in your body to heal and to remove. And so ancestral healing, a lot of us have signed up for this decision to say, I'm going to heal my life, yes, but I'm also the person who's bearing the responsibility in my lineage to break these patterns so that they're not passed down. And you know, this work, when we look really deeply into it, it's a vocation, it's a prayer, it is a great act of service to say that you're going to break these patterns for your life so that your lineage as you move forward will remain pure and will continue to raise in vibration, releasing all of this trauma and rewriting stories. So poverty, relationships with money, these are often things that are really carried from our dad or our mother, and we're carrying that responsibility. How we treat the masculine, how we treat the feminine outside of us and within us, often programmings. Relationships with parenting and how we parent our children, ancestral, right? Relationships with love and intimacy, ancestral. So it's our job to really look at all of these wounds and to go into the depths of the emotion. you know, for me specifically, I have found that there's like a missed mark on all of this. And I'm sure many of you guys who have done the exercise have been able to actually see the difference in this concept of I need to feel what I've been through. I think a lot of old teachings, when we say I need to feel what I've been through, we have this approach of like, okay, I was raped and I'm gonna feel what I've been through so I can release it. And the perspective of like, okay, that means that I have to go into the trauma again and I need to experience it as I experienced it. And I need to feel all of that pain and suffering to release it, to heal. And that's not true. What we're doing instead is we're feeling from a different perspective. So when I was healing my trauma with sexual abuse, rather than being in that experience in my mind and doing journaling work all around everything I felt in that moment, I went into a state where I observed and witnessed that girl and what she experienced. And I cried for her, and I cried for all of the things that she went through after that. And I told her, thank you, I love you, I'm so sorry, please forgive me that I put you through this, right? That I led you down a path that was wrong and ended up here, right? And the forgiveness of self and the forgiveness of your past version of yourself is all really important. And that, for me, was a huge shift in how I showed up in the ego, because up until healing that, I had a really uncomfortable time in showing up in full self-expression, because I was taught from that experience to not be seen, because being seen could lead to bad relationships that could get you hurt, right? So I started to shrink down. So once I healed that, I was able to reclaim that part of myself and show up in a more empowered state. And yeah, sure, maybe the ego was there from time to time, but it wasn't running the show. It was lessened because it was listened to. Your ego will lessen when you listen to it. So how do we do this work, right? How do we heal the ancestral line? How do we heal our ego? How do we rewrite the story of not feeling good enough, reclaiming our power? How do we rewrite patterns of depression, anxiety, poor patterns of food choices, body image issues, low self-worth, all of it? It starts by sinking into the archetypes of our life journey. I always like to explore these in crazy depth, but we're not going to be able to do that here. That's more inside of the HEAL program. Today, we're going to actually just look at the archetypes of our timeline. And so we have the archetype of the child, right? The pure child, the pure part of us. All of us as children were playful, loving, silly, open, fully expressed, right? That part of us needs to be reclaimed. And we've had childhood experiences that have made us shrink down, get small, you know, fit in a box, feel sad, lower our vibration, all of that. So the archetype of the inner child needs to be awakened and needs to be loved and needs to be tended to. And in claiming her back, it's a lot of the activity and ritual that we can do every day to call her in. So we've had experiences in our childhood timeline. We've had experiences in our teenage timeline. And we've had also experiences in our masculine timeline and our feminine timeline. And so these are great places to start, to really explore and sink in to what has been broken, what needs to be mended, what needs to be repaired in those areas of our life. Now, inside of the HEAL program, something I like to do with my students, we talk about the elements of life mastery to create a fully healed, complete life. There are various elements of this. We've talked a little bit about it in day one, I believe. So we have this area of our relationship with money, our relationship with partners, our relationship with sex, our relationship with happiness, right, and spiritual enlightenment. We have all these things, right? We want better relationships. That's why we're here. We want to heal our relationships with either people, ourselves, or external elements of the 3D, money, right? So when we're doing that, what's important to ask is like, okay, I want to heal my relationship with my, let's just say money, right? I want to heal my relationship with money. Well, where in my childhood timeline did I have experiences where I formed negative beliefs about money or success or freedom or hard work, right? Or receiving? Where did I learn the negative experiences or stories and maybe take away the wrong lesson, right? And carry that through. If you're healing your relationship with your body, right? For me, oh my gosh, I was healing my relationship with my body so much. I had so much physical ailment. At one point, my chronic Lyme disease was so bad, I couldn't walk. I forgot my birthday. I got lost to the grocery store. Like, I was so sick. I couldn't hold a grocery bag. Like, just going through this weakness in the body. And it was really, honestly, I think I see this for everybody who comes to me with a physical ailment. Anything like that is trauma inside of the body. And so if you have been carrying any type of trauma within the body, it's going to start to surface and show up in physical form. The body is still creating a pattern of fight or flight. And that fight or flight pattern is a like magnet for physical ailment, for gut issues, for Lyme disease, for IBS, for feminine health issues, right? It becomes this magnet because your body is still radiating the frequency of fight or flight from your trauma. And so going back to childhood, teenage years, going back to the feminine archetype and the masculine archetype and repairing and healing those things is the doorway to calming the body and releasing all of that fight or flight and bringing you back into that state of peace so that you can actually be well and whole. So what you are going to do today is you are going to explore these archetypes, the child, the teenager, the feminine, the masculine, and you're gonna sit and you're going to ask yourself real simply, hey, what have I been through in these areas? Feminine and masculine, let's just speak to that for a minute and explain how to explore those. I think we know for child and teenage experiences, we can look at what we've been through in our life and identify what was real shitty, right? What was holding us back from creating a pure child or a pure teenager? A lot of sexual trauma starts in the teenage years, so that may come up for you guys as well as memories or experiences where you fractaled out and where the trauma patterns really went deep, so we can lessen the ego, right? So if the ego is saying, I'm not good enough, okay, what are your stories? What are the things you experienced as a child? If the ego says, you're not beautiful, what are the things you've experienced in your childhood or teenage years that have allowed you to create that belief system? And for the feminine and the masculine, it's very similar. We want our feminine and our masculine to be really pure energetic channels. We want to have a good, solid relationship with our masculine within ourselves. This is the part of us that makes decisions. This is the part of us that takes action. This is the part of us that really is a fighter and goes after what she wants and believes in herself. That warrior energy is very masculine and it exists within us. But we also have the feminine. We have this light, gentle, beautiful, lush playful creatrix energy within ourselves. And both of these channels need to be pure as well. So it's important to look at the traumas associated with those sort of archetypes and just asking ourselves, okay, when did we stop being an action taker? You know, what experiences did we have where we took action and we got hurt? What are the experiences we had? We made decisions and they were wrong. You know, we started to suppress our masculine. And for the feminine as well, when were you flowy and happy and lush and just in your presence and you got hurt? What has shown up for you in your life? Now, you may have big memories come through on some of these archetypes. You may have no memories come through on some of these archetypes. That's okay. Whatever comes up is right. And so with a pen and paper, you're going to ask the inner child, the teenager, the masculine, and the feminine. And you're going to ask and look in and say, okay, I'm trying to heal my relationship with my body right now. What experiences have I had in these areas that have disrupted me? And you're going to write them down. Or I'm trying to heal my relationship with money. What experiences have I had in these areas? I'm going to write them down, right? I'm trying to heal my relationship with my self-confidence. What experience have I had? Write them down. And you're going to get really clear. It's almost like four columns on a piece of paper. And you're going to look at all of those parts of you and you're going to write down those experiences and see them. And in a meditative state, again, because this is all about you, self-healing, your self-healing. I'm not doing this work for you, right? You're just learning how to do this work for yourself so you can continue it and unravel and reclaim over and over and over again, right? So once you have these experiences down, we're going to look at each of them individually and we're going to send them so much love. And we're going to go into our bodies, right? For example, maybe I can do this with you and just show you kind of how this plays out. So, yeah, let's do it. So right now in my life, I'm trying to heal my relationship with being fully seen and loved by my partner, right? I haven't really allowed myself to feel that love because I'm telling myself a story that it's not safe. And the reason I'm telling myself a story that it's not safe is because in the past, I have had experiences where it has not been safe to be loved. And I know, right, just like the work we did yesterday, I have a new story around that. I see that all these past experiences that I have were not to teach me to close my heart. That's not the lesson of love. These experiences I had were here to teach me something different, to teach me how to, the beautiful art of opening up, right? It's very different to live your life always heart open versus becoming somebody who learns how to open her heart. That process of learning how and letting it open is beautiful, right? And so that's the soul's journey that my heart has chosen in this lifetime in a certain aspect of my healing, to learn how to live in an open-hearted way with everybody, my partner as well, my partner especially, right? So I have had moments where my heart has been closed. I have had moments where I felt like I was not good enough for men. And this has happened in my childhood years. It's happened in my teenage years. It's happened in my masculine timeline and my feminine timeline. Both areas where I've been rejected for being my fullest essence of self. So I started to close, right? So I'm in a process of healing that. And I know in my memory, the childhood experiences that I've had where I've closed my heart, I think the first thing that comes to mind for me was this little girl that I was in grade school where I really wanted this boy to like me and he just didn't, right? He just didn't, and he bullied me all the time. And I just really wanted him to like me, and I showed up all the time just hoping and hoping to get attention, to get affection, to get recognition from this boy. Deep down too, it's all a mirror for my relationship with my father, right? And so while we're not exploring our relationships with the mother and father here, just know that there's deep archetypal work around those two inside of the HEAL program as well. And doors open on Monday, so please. Okay, so I'm like, I gotta tell you to come into the HEAL program because it's amazing. The link's in the bio, but you know what's best for you. So we have this relationship, with dad, and we don't get the love we want. We don't get the recognition we want, and we start to play that out in our life. We don't feel like our fathers are fully open-hearted. And we are growing up, unfortunately, in a world where there's a lot of wounded masculine and feminine around us in every corner. So for me, I had wounded masculine growing up, raising me, and I believed that what I saw from my father was the way the world was. So I started to create that reality and play it out. And so I attracted a lot of wounded masculine over and over and over in my life. And it really kept me in this pattern of closing my heart even more and more and more, because now I'm playing out this computer programming, continuing to attract, continuing to feed the story, continuing to create that reality, continuing to close my heart, right? So I need to be able to go back to that girl and connect with her and tell her what she needs to hear, right? And so in a meditative state, closing the eyes and opening the heart, just giving myself a moment to go to that child and to see maybe a vision of her and who she is, and to connect with her and say, thank you for what you had to go through. And sitting with that and what that means, you know, and then saying, I love you. And sitting with that and then asking for forgiveness, because please forgive me. I am so sorry. And then when you do that, you'll notice like the girl tries, she lessens, right? Like the anxiety around that or the emotion around that starts to go a little bit more quiet, right? This is the work. Right? This is the work. Tapping into that emotional state is hard, but it's necessary. And so you're going to do that. You're going to do that with your activities, the inner child and the teenager and the masculine and the feminine. And you're going to go through that process of just connecting and saying, thank you, I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, right? And giving yourself a moment to have a new relationship with her. And when you're done, that piece of paper you have where you've written down these four columns in spiritual ceremony, you're going to rip it up and you're going to burn it. And you're just going to release it and let it go. And come back into your power where you feel grounded and safe and confident and with new awareness, right? So this is your work this week, sister. I'm so excited to see what you come up with. I'm so excited to see what moves through you. I know many of you expressed doing the homeworks, and I'm watching all of you guys in the group, and I'm just in love and in awe of every one of you that are showing up. Yeah, I am here for all of this depth. Yes, sister. So happy to hear that. Keep it going and keep showing up for yourself. So yes, so just to recap, the child, the teenager, the masculine, the feminine, think about what you're healing. Write down your experiences, the specific memories you have, and giving yourself a chance to say, thank you, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, in whatever, you know, order comes through for you, but just allowing yourself to sit with each emotion and allowing yourself to feel and allowing yourself to cry if you need to cry or to scream if you need to scream or to move the body if you need to, and just releasing all that energy. And then when you're done, you're going to burn that letter in ceremonial space and just, you know, maybe post a picture in the group with a prayer of like what you're releasing and give yourself an opportunity to feel that. You know, a lot of the times I think in these 5 day series, there's a lot of like talking at you and teaching you things, right? And yes, we do that here, but the rituals that you do outside of these trainings are the most important part. So keep showing up for that. Do the exercise today. And tomorrow and Friday, we will have our calls in a Zoom room, which is going to be really amazing, a great way to deepen our connection and go deeper into our healing. So I look forward to seeing you guys all there. The link will be posted here in the group and again inside of your email, and you can join us live and get to interact and go a little bit deeper than what we've been doing here for the last 3 days. So I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. I will see you on the next session.